Father, we are thankful that you are a faithful God and we can trust you completely. No matter what, we can trust you. Peter trusted your word and he walked on water. Your word is true. And daily, Lord, we ask, help us to grow in our trust. Just like the Father who said, I believe, help thou my unbelief. We ask, O God, that in every area of our lives, where we have not believed you completely, that you bring us to that place. For just like Paul declared, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It is Christ that lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Father, it is not our trust that we rely on. It is not our faith that we rely on. We rely on your faith, on yourself. Oh God, we cry out to you today. Help us live life to the full, believing. For your word says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We draw on that everlasting life, that fulfilled life, that life abundantly. Because, Father, your faith is working in us and through us. Blessed be your holy name forever, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to have you this evening. We are studying through the book of Proverbs, and we are in the 14th chapter. We finally got close to half of the book after 2 years. We're still not up to half of it yet. This book is so loaded with information that if we are dared to, will cause our lives to be truly transformed, our minds renewed. We got up to verse 5 last week, and we spent a good amount of time talking about verse 5. But let's look at it from another perspective this evening. It says, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. I want to see this particular verse not like we did last week from the man's perspective, but I want to look at it from the God perspective, looking back this way. A faithful witness will not lie. You know, the Word of God tells us that Jesus is that faithful witness too. So, looking at it from that perspective, we can come to this conclusion that God will not lie. And the Word of God says God cannot lie. So he's trustworthy. Amen? Oh, sisters look alike. Wow, look like twins. A faithful witness will not lie. And we looked at that very closely from the aspect of the fact that when we have an eternal perspective and we understand that the Word of God says all liars are going to end up in that lake of fire, not just hell, then we want to stay in the pathway of truth. And sometimes it can be costly. It can cost you friends. It can cost you family. It can cost you resources. It can cost you all kinds of things. Because when you want to stay in the pathway of truth, the world will call you foolish. You say, why did you have to tell the truth? You know, this is going to cost you not just an arm and a leg. This is going to cost you all kinds of things. You just told the truth, and now you're going to pay the consequence. The fact is that the consequence, there's no amount of consequence that will be at par with the consequence with God. You know, the Lord says, don't be afraid of man that can kill and do all this stuff. He says, but be afraid of God that can totally destroy you. You can end up in hell. He says, so don't start squabbling about stuff. Stay true. People that are truthful become people that are trustworthy. And that's the image that God presents to us. I am trustworthy. You can take my word to the bank and cash it. If I say I'm going to do such and such, then let it be finalized in your thinking that what I said I will do, I will do. Amen? Even this evening, I was thinking about some of the things the Lord said, and I said, God, you cannot lie. I am looking forward to this that you said. You told me this. And you know the amazing thing about it is that the Word of God says God will do exceedingly far above anything we dare ask or think. True? That's a powerful word. So even if I am mistaken that this big thing that I'm asking for, that you're going to do it, mistaken me, you still said you will do exceedingly far above what I dare ask or think. Amen? According to that power that worketh in me. What power? The power of your love. The power of believing and trusting you. Lord, I cannot fail. I cannot fail because I choose to believe. I believe you. And you are a faithful witness. Remember the story I shared with you guys about when the Lord was calling me to ministry? I got saved in 74, July the 24th. And about 2 weeks in, the Lord said, calling me to ministry. Show me visions. about the mission field. And I want you to come serve me as a minister. And I refused. For 2 years I resisted. And this was like a daily occurrence. He will either speak to me directly or he will send somebody and say, God sent me to tell you that he wants you in the ministry. I don't think so. So finally, one day, I opened up the Bible. And I read to God from the book of Ephesians, where it says, honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you. You will live a long life. I said, listen, my father doesn't want me in the ministry. And your word says here, honor your father and your mother. Would you know that by presenting his word to him, for the next 6 months, God did not send anybody? God did not speak to me in a vision or in dreams saying, I want you in the ministry. I quoted his word and he responded to his word and did not say a peep until September 5th, 1976, when he called my name. I was leading in a Negro spiritual, in a special service. He says, Michael, today, your father is going to give you up to the work of the ministry, and I don't want to hear any more excuses from you. Period. I'm turning around trying to find out who just spoke to me. The others were still singing. I'm sitting at the choir loft, and my dad comes up to give his special offering. And he says, God is asking me to give him my only son. And that's how I ended up on the offering basket. I tell you that story because God remained true to his word. He did not go against his word. He is our faithful witness who will not lie. He says, let all men be liars, God will still remain true. One freeing word that I received maybe about 30-something years ago was this. God is love. And God does not hate me that much for him to lie. When I got that in my spirit, I said, oh, that's deep. God has to hate himself to lie. He says in his word, love your neighbor as you do love yourself. Another freeing word that came to me decades and decades ago was this. God will not ask me to do something that he will not do himself. It freed me. If God is asking me to forgive somebody 70 times, 7 times in one day, he has to at least forgive me that much. Now, that doesn't mean I go messing up and blowing it and I say, oh, God, forgive me. That's one. Forgive me. That's two. That's three. Okay, it's 490 now. Are we... No, no, that's becoming a real scoundrel. She's just a big mess. He's making a point. The point is, listen, I am a God that forgives. He is a faithful witness to his word. So no matter what, forgiveness is available. I can draw on that. But also is this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God's grace is sufficient. His grace is not, okay, I forgive you, that's it. No, his grace is an empowerment to be able to live uprightly. He said, I give to you the gift of righteousness. He's giving us the gift of righteousness. Righteousness is not something I'm becoming. It's something that I am because he gave it to me. I have it. Amen? So God's faithfulness, which means he does not lie, empowers me to believe for the impossible. It was his word, come, that Peter walked on. When Jesus says, come, water became concrete. In the realm of the Spirit. When he said to the disciples, sit them down, 5,000 hungry men, not counting the women and the children, and he takes 5 loaves and 2 fishes, breaks it with thanksgiving unto the Lord and gave it to them to share, he was proving himself as a faithful witness. He did not run out. And I want to challenge us all this evening to just trust God, a God who will not lie. He's faithful to the end. Amen? Verse 6 says, a scorner seeketh wisdom. The word here is the word loot. And it has a lot of meanings, this word loot, that's translated as corner here. It means to be a person that mocks, a mocker. But the underlying statement of loot is that loot can also be translated as an interpreter. And it is from that perspective I want to look at this particular statement. That a person who translates or interprets wrongly based on his arrogance, because that word arrogance is connected to this word loot, that person twisting the word of God and making that which is not true as if it were true, he says he will not find wisdom. Now it goes back to the previous verse. We talked about the fact that God will do exceedingly far beyond what you dare ask or think. Now, you take that statement and you turn it on its head and you want to live in sin, live whichever way you want to live, and then you turn it on its head and you say, well, it doesn't matter, God will still answer me. That's craziness. But there are people who act like that. Samson found himself in that pool. You know, he's messing around. God says, don't do this. Don't mess with your hair. Don't cut it. And he's messing with Delilah. And he's telling Delilah this and that. And finally, he tells Delilah the truth. My hair's not been cut, ever. Ever. And the Bible says Delilah, when Samson told her that, believed that this was it. It didn't sound like anything, but I think this is it. And so cut his hair while he slept. And then she says, oh, the Philistines are here. The Philistines are here. Samson's here. And he got up and he thought he still had it. His actions were actions that mocked the word of God. You cannot be doing the wrong thing and thinking that it's going to be okay. It's a slippery slope. You know, when you start going down, you're going all the way. So don't go to that place where you peak and you start doing all kinds of crazy stuff and find yourself tumbling down. A scorner seeketh wisdom. He's seeking it. But it's wisdom based on whatever his messed up mind thinks wisdom is. It is not coming and hearing the word of God and doing it, like the word of God says, is the establishment of wisdom. It says, I will liken a wise man to the one who comes, hears my word and does it. It says, but a foolish man comes, hears my word, but doesn't do it. He seeks wisdom. And he says, and findeth it not. He's gonna seek it wisdom. And see, the words findeth it are added words. It's in italics to make sense of it. But really, if you take that out, it says, a scorner seeketh wisdom and not. In essence, he's not really seeking wisdom. That's why he's not getting it. He says, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Remember what we said, if you want to understand Proverbs, there are three legs to the stool. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. It is right through. You cannot understand Proverbs without looking at those three things. It's almost in every chapter. It says, but knowledge is easy unto him that understand it. Then it must mean that knowledge and understanding equals wisdom. Let me say that again. Knowledge and understanding equal wisdom. When you have knowledge, the information, you understand it, it brings you to that place where you act appropriately. Knowledge without understanding only produces arrogance, pride, And so we have people in pursuit of knowledge, not seeking understanding. And their actions become that of a scorner. So people are educated and they become foolish. The guy is talking all kinds of stuff and you say, with all those degrees, this is what you're coming up with? There are people with all of their degrees who believe that a man can be pregnant, that a man can transition and become something else. It doesn't matter how much transitioning you do. XY will never become XX or vice versa. A man is a man, a woman is a woman. They act as a Supreme Court justice when she was trying to become a justice, which she ended up becoming. I apologize, I normally shut this thing off when I'm here. And they ask her, this somebody's going to be in the Supreme Court. Can you tell us what a woman is? She says, I don't know. I'm not a biologist. You're going to be in the Supreme Court with all that education. Knowledge without understanding. And that's what we have in our leadership. A lot of head knowledge, no understanding, and therefore foolish decisions. How under God's heaven, you are a father, a grandfather, and you are okaying and fighting for men to use women's washrooms. And don't expect that something bad can happen. How do you do that? Well, we can go on and talk about all kinds of things that so-called knowledgeable people without understanding do. And the net result is foolish decisions. Just outright foolish. But you know what? People that have knowledge and understanding come up with decisions appropriate, what you might call common sense decisions. Just plain common sense, because it's right there. But the unfortunate thing is common sense is not that common. How do people get to that place when they put God aside? The Word of God says, it is the fool who says in his heart, there is no God. When you put God aside and he's no longer part of the equation of the decisions you make, you become more like an animal. Men become start acting like animals. Because they lack wisdom. They lack knowledge. They lack understanding. Their so-called understanding is so dark. They've become false witnesses, standing for stuff that is not true. They didn't just get there just like that. They did so because they kept on compromising themselves. And this can happen to anybody. And that's why we study the Word of God and say, you know what? No matter what decisions I make in my life, right at the center, at the core of every decision must be God. You know, there's a slogan that went around for the longest time in the, I would say, the 90s or early 2000s. What will Jesus do? Remember that? WWJD. What will Jesus do? That has to be true north in the compass of our lives. How will Jesus handle this situation? How will he respond to this situation? Well, Jesus, meek and mild, made a whip, goes inside the temple, starts kicking. Can you imagine Jesus kicking down tables and overturning tables? Why did he do it? You making my house a den of thieves. Supposed to be a house of prayer. And he calls people that were not allowed to be inside the temple. The lame, the crippled, they were not allowed inside the temple. He brings them in and heals every one of them. That's what Jesus will do. He's about correcting the wrong. Scorners are not about that. They're about generating wrong and accusing people that want to stand for truth as the wrong ones. There's no greater place to see this mess clearly than in the politics in the land. You want to see it's going to seek it wisdom and find it not? Just open your newspaper and see what the politicians are doing. And it will be so absolutely clear. Oh, yes. So what does the Word of God say? Solution. Go from the presence of a foolish man. Stop hanging around foolish people. Because you're going to become like them. See foolishness? Stay away from it. It has a funny way of attaching itself like Velcro. You dip one finger in oil, I don't care how careful you are, the rest of the fingers are going to get messed up. And so God says, go from the presence of a foolish man, or you're going to get defiled. You're going to get contaminated. You're going to start thinking the way they think. This is plain outright truth. He says, when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. He says, you see the foolish man and you're not hearing knowledge, pure knowledge. Go. Leave him. Oh, he's my friend. Leave him. He's just joking around. Leave him. Because just joking around might just make you a joker. I said, just go away from that. And people that you and I meet, they talk trash. And trash has a way of getting you hooked in. What is the new story? What is the new story? It's the barber talk, barber shop talk. What are they talking about? What are they saying? What do you think about this? What do you think about that? And the net result is you are in the world of gossip. And you come to that place where you don't know what is true anymore. You really don't know what is true anymore. And our media, get us entangled in that kind of a mess. You know, people don't stand for truth, including our media. They don't stand for truth. They have their own belief system and ideologies that they hold on to. And they see the whole world through the prism of that ideology. Everything gets twisted somehow to fit into the narrative that they have established in their mind. Everything. It doesn't matter what news you're listening to. That's why one of the key things that we need is to have spiritual discernment. I think it is the most appropriate grace that you and I must have now. Discernment. Being able to filter through all the nonsense that is going on. It doesn't matter whether it's conservative news or liberal news, you know, progressive. It's all a mess. All of it. CBC, NBC, ABC, CNN, Fox News, they are all of them, all of them. When I say all of them, I mean all of them. There's not one of them that is good. Some may be better than others, but a little bit of cyanide will still kill you. You don't need a gallon. And so everything needs to be filtered through the eyes of God. How does God see this situation? What is God saying about this situation? How should I respond to it? I think one of the most challenging, we need to pray for our leaders. The Word of God tells us that we need to pray for our leaders, for our kings, and pray for all people. If you're going to live a peaceable life, we'll pray for them. And we're right now in our time of election. We need to pray and be fervent and ask God for mercy. God is helping us. There are things being moved. I don't know how long ago, it was maybe about 6 weeks or 8 weeks, something like that. I told you guys about this key religious leader that was going to pass. Do you guys remember this? And there was a reason for it. There was no problem. I think it might have been longer than that. And then I came back and I said, it was supposed to have happened, but God gave a time of grace for certain things to change. But if it doesn't, then it's going to happen. That's all I need to say about that. That is seeing things from God's perspective. It's not news. We get the news before the news. Yeah? We get the news before the news. God sees, he has a bird's eye view over every situation. And he knows exactly what's happening. He knows, and we don't live our lives by natural sight, but by the faith of the Son of God. Amen? So, it says in verse 8, it says, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. This is a very interesting passage of Scripture because it is addressing you understanding as a prudent, wise person understanding you. But it's also talking about the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way in terms of God's way. So you need to understand your way, know who you are, how you respond. And it says, but the folly of the fools is deceit. A fool, you know, the prudent person knows, I used to have an elbow problem, so the bar is not the place for me to go to. Because if I make a mistake, especially this very moment that I'm feeling so overwhelmed, I might just go to my old patterns and drink something, and before you know it, I'm tumbling down the street. A prudent person understands his way. He understands, I have an issue in this area. So I'm not going to feed that animal. But the foolish person says, oh yeah, I can handle it. It's okay. I'm a strong man. The next thing we know, you are back down, face looking up. You don't mess around. You don't create a situation. When you understand yourself, this can become a problem. Stay away from it. You have nothing to prove to anybody. Hey, well, if you're really, really saved, you will not have any problem at all. Yes, I'm really, really saved. I don't want to find out if I'm really, really saved or not. I'm going to stay away from this. For there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. Destruction. You don't fool around with stuff. Find out whether you're tough enough, strong enough. No, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. Know yourself and his way. Know God's way. Say, what does the word of God say? Then follow it. Pursue after it. It may not be the popular thing to do, but you stick with it. Doing the righteous thing, doing the right thing. He says, fools make a mock at sin. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly where we are. Fools make a mock at sin. They don't think, they don't recognize that sin can enslave you. So they mock it. Well, nothing bad is going to happen. I am just taking this to cut out the edge. And before you know it, you're a drug addict. Before you know it, you're an alcoholic. Before you know it, all kinds of crazy things have happened. And your life now is being fashioned by something that you no longer have control over. Because you made a mark at sin. You dare sin, sin will humiliate you. It is just the way it is. And fools go in the path of that. Listen, because somebody has not been caught doing the wrong thing and they seem to be prospering in their evil way does not make it right. But unfortunately, people just do whatever it is. It is okay. Nobody's getting hurt from this. No, you are getting hurt from this. You just don't know it yet. You just don't know it yet. But this serpent is going to come bite. And sin is that serpent. It will bite. It will bite. You know, it's the story. It's a story that is told. I think it's about the turtle and the serpent. And the serpent wanted to cross this lake and is asking the turtle to help it. If I can just climb on your back and then you just swim across. He says, no, I'm not going to do that. You're going to bite me. You're going to bite me. I can't take that risk. Come on. No problem. How can I do that? If you are taking me across, if I bite you, we're both going to die. I don't want to die. I just want to go across. Okay. So the turtle says, okay, get on my back. I'll take you across. So they're going in the middle of the lake. Ding! The turtle says, you beat me. You beat me. You said you were not. He said, I couldn't help myself. That's my nature. That's my nature. What do you expect? Well, you can't trust the devil. That's what I'm saying. You can't trust sin and think sin is going, you're going to be okay when you know, oh yeah. No. There is a payment. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The only thing that sin will pay you with is not pleasure, it's death. Death. Separation from God. And so we have to seek the heartbeat of God. He says, but among the righteous there is favor. Among the righteous there is favor. Not the mocking of sin. When we seek righteousness, God favors us. What is sin trying to promise you? The world. The world. That's what sin promises. You said to Jesus, the devil came and said to Jesus, just bow down to me. I'll give you the world. Look at this. It's all mine. I can give it to you. And so there are people who want whatever. And they go in the wrong pathway. It's not just the people of the world out there in their secular system. It happens in church. There's so much politics sometimes in church. Buddy, buddy. You scratch my back, I scratch your back. And we'll make it happen. This clique, this is our group over here. When, in the same church, you have cliques? Oh, yeah. And when you get into cliques like that, you get into a cultish setting. So we have stuff like Freemasonry. And you have classes. But you're selling your soul. Selling your soul just to get more. More of this. There are people in offices that are doing whatever it is they need to do just to get notice and be in power. And after you get all that power, what then? But for the righteous who's following the pathways of God, God has a way of releasing favor. It may not be as flashy as whatever it is the devil is doing, but this is the deal. When the storm of life comes, that house is going to stand. Think of it this way. If we both have $100,000, or let's be generous, we both have $1 million. And we want to build a house. And you decide to not lay a foundation. You just build. You have lots of arachis left to do all kinds of amazing decorations. And the furnishing will just be amazing because you have all this extra. You didn't lay a foundation. The other guy with his million digs the foundation, puts everything down. Most of his money's gone into that foundation, and now he builds this structure. And it is not that nice to the eyes. The furnishing on the inside is not the best because he only has $1 million. But the storm of life comes. And flashy house over here, kaboom, is floating down the river. The other house, without all the fancy stuff, is still solid. The storm ends, and the house is there. All we need to do is clean up all the mud and whatever else, but the house is solid. Which house do you want? That's the question we need to ask. What do I want? Something that is going to last? Or something that's flashy, but it's nothing there. I'll conclude with this next. Verse 10, the heart knoweth his own bitterness. Remember what we talked about earlier? Know yourself. Yeah? The heart knoweth his own bitterness. Check it out. It says, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. That's a very interesting verse. The heart knoweth his own bitterness. Do you know you? He says, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. This verse is so interesting because it not only addresses the individual as one who knows his own bitterness, but also flips it around and says, when you don't know yourself, you become a stranger to yourself. And you don't intermeddle with joy because you don't know you. You don't know your own issues. And because you don't know that, you will not be able to address it. And so it's imperative that we learn about ourselves. Learn about you. It's not about every other person. Learn you. You've heard me say, that there's one thing, of all the things that you can talk about, there's one thing that irks me. You got it. Being misrepresented. I hate that. I don't want to be misrepresented. And one time I cried out to the Lord, why do I hate this that much? He said, you got that from me. I said, what do you mean I got it from you? He said, I don't like being misrepresented either. That's okay. Then we are fine. I had to stop and say, you can do this, you can do that, you can do this, you can do that, but if you do this, that gets my goat. Why? God help me with this. And I find that just knowing that forces me to try to make sure that I represent myself well, so I'm not misrepresented, that I have my voice and that it is clear, that while you can see it even in my teaching style, that I go through it step by step by step, this, yeah, this, that, and go at it from every angle, you know, so that you see what I'm talking about and you're not confused about what I said. So that if somebody comes and says, oh, pastor said such and such, you can say, I don't think so. Because that's not him. That makes sense? Yeah. So you got to know who you are. So now that I know that, how do I handle myself when I'm misrepresented so that I don't go into bitterness? I choose to forgive before I even get misrepresented. It's okay. I'm not defined by your misrepresentation. I'm defined by what God says and sees about me. I'm not going to give you power above God's power. And if whatever it is that you're saying is the truth, I thank God for his mercies, his loving kindness. He is gracious. I draw on the grace of God, and I pursue what God is saying. That's why I fess up myself. How many times have I fessed up? Pastor, you didn't just say that. You didn't just say you did such and such. Yeah, because I'm not going to be blackmailed by anybody. Hallelujah. Yeah. I'm not going to misrepresent myself. I'm going to say, you know, this is what happened and this is what happened. And that's it. Praise the Lord. You know what I found out? I'm going to wrap with this. When you choose to be an open book, you can be hurt. But it's also a freeing place, because you are exercising by your action, by your attitude, that you recognize that God is faithful. I don't plan to mess up today, tomorrow, or ever. But if I did, I know a God who is faithful, who restores, who makes whole. But then I must ask myself, how did you get into this mess? Because it didn't just happen. It happened because of what reason? What were you thinking? How were you approaching life? What were you trying to hide from? What lie did you believe? Now I can deal with that systematically, step by step by step, and identify what the issue is so that I don't repeat myself. And that's what God calls every one of us to. Know who you are. Know what you're capable of, what might endanger you, and address it before God. For He is your present help in the time of trouble. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you so very much for participating in this study tonight. We'll pick it up from verse 11 next week. Verse 11 says, the house of the wicked shall be overthrown. That's a guarantee. But the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. Amen? So you see, as we, you know, people say the book of Proverbs is disjointed. No, it's not. You're just not looking at it the right way. It's all connected. Step by step. You explain something here, it will go further down and explain what needs to be explained. And so we just talked about the house, right? And right there it is. Amen? All right. Well, praise the Lord for His faithfulness. At this time, let us honor God with our giving. He's faithful. He said He will multiply our seed sown. We can trust that word. Amen? He will lead us and direct us by the guidance of His peace, His irene, His shalom, when nothing is missing and nothing is broken. We can trust God all day long. Hallelujah. And well, we bless you, those that are on with us this evening. We are going to be back on Friday, but primarily on Zoom, if you want to join our time of prayer and intercession, and grow in that wise. There's going to be, of course, we'll be here in person, but we don't broadcast our prayer meetings because sometimes we deal with some heavy duty stuff and we don't want to be misrepresented by what we say or what we're talking about. So if you want to be part of the prayer meeting, hook up with us on Zoom and you can participate. God bless you. Thank you for participating today. And you can join us in your giving also. The giving information generally is on the screen. And make use of it. And so, in faith, and may God bless all of our givings and multiply our seed sown. God bless you, and good night. Well, I will talk to